Good evening. Welcome to our evening service here at Independent Bible Church of Duray. Glad to have you out here tonight. Some of you have been here for a little while with choir, but we are thrilled to have you back with us worshiping tonight and looking forward to a great night in the Lord. And now it's time to get the hymn book out as Mike comes.
All right. Stand and turn to 108. 108. What though the way be lonely and dark the shadows fall? I know where'er it leadeth, my Father planned it all. I sing through the shade and the sunshine, I'll trust Him whatever befall. I sing for I cannot be silent, my Father planned it all. There may be sunshine tomorrow, shadows may break and flee. 'Twill be the way He chooses, the Father's plan for me. I sing through the shade and the sunshine, I trust Him whatever befall. I sing for I cannot be silent, my Father. Guides my faltering footsteps along the weary way. For well He knows the pathway will lead to endless day. I sing through the shade and the sunshine, I trust in whatever befall. I sing for I cannot be silent.
Singing tonight. We're just going to take a little bit of time, not as long as we have other nights, on mentioning some ministry needs, primarily talking about Charlie having come up here. I want to praise the Lord. The needs I presented last Sunday night have been filled. And we had a need for a permanent Wednesday night children's worker during the school year, and the Lord took care of that. We also had a helper needed for Sunday school classroom children, and that was taken as well. Praise the Lord for that. Now, it doesn't mean if the Lord's been tugging your heart on something, come let us know. There may be a need that you're not aware of yet. There's always some needs that pop up throughout the year, and I'm thankful for that. I mentioned this morning that Charlie, he'll tell you a little bit more about that. He presented this a couple weeks ago, let you know about his mission trip, and that is right around the corner on Tuesday. I'll be flying out on Tuesday evening, I believe, for Brazil. I'll let him tell you a little bit more about that. But I mentioned this morning that when he comes back, after a couple days of rest and getting settled and all that good stuff, he's going to begin at least an 8-week internship here through the church. Obviously, he just finished graduating from Ambassador Baptist College and Bible music major, and interested, again, sort of getting direction on what the Lord would have for him and all of that. I know I've heard folks say different times, different places, says, hey, well, you need an assistant pastor. Charlie, why can't we hire him? All right. Well, there's a couple things there when hiring somebody. Number one, it's not just anybody who's available. Now, that is good. You need to have someone available. And then they have to be called by the Lord. And then they have to be, there's a little bit more that goes into that. And so he's excited to see where the Lord leads. That's obviously part of the mission trip, part of the internship, just to get some practical feet on the ground training. Again, part of that time, about half of that time, the coal miners will still be gone out west. And so he'll be in charge of the music, help with choir leading, special music. Shane went over a lot of that with him, all the different things like that as well. well. We'll plug him in as he has already been plugged in with some preaching and some teaching and different aspects there and different things. He'll be helping with the Wednesday night children's program as well, sort of being the head person for that, as well as already he's involved in different things here. We'll be giving him assignments, projects. He'll be doing, that's full time now. And he's going to be, again, as I mentioned, going to be renting the apartment that's there with the Kohlmeyers. Their house there has an apartment on the side. And we went and looked at that, and Kohlmeyers and everything is good there. So excited about that. That'll put him pretty close here. And obviously, many of you may say, well, what about the Rotts? You know, he's been up there. And obviously, Grandma and Grandpa love having him, but they're thrilled. They're ready for him not to leave, but to say, hey, this is important for you. We know this is a good step for you. And the family is obviously different children and grandchildren, everybody working on trying to get some help up there as needed for Lionel and Barbara. And so we're excited about that. Again, that's going to be about mid-September through mid-November as of right now. And be here at the church, helping with visiting and knocking on doors, soul winning, different things like that. Give him a practical round view, if you would, of the ministry and every aspect there as he continues to pray and seek the Lord as well. So he's going to come right now and just sort of give you a quick update on what's going on with the mission trip, how you can pray, and then some of the needs we mentioned this morning and maybe some answer to prayers to that.
Well, when I came this morning to church, I had about 62% of what I needed, what the missionaries told me I needed. And through the course of the day, people here at church were like, here, money. And just long story short, I have all the support that I need now. Actually, I have more than what's needed, about $250 more than what was I was told I needed. So praise the Lord, and also thank you for your giving heart and for giving to me. It's very humbling. There's no way I would be able to do this trip without help and without your help. Just a couple interesting things through the how God provided that money. There, you know, He can provide any way he wants to, and you know, obviously he provides primarily through God's people. But there was a couple of sources that gave to me that were unexpected. When I left my construction job, Mills and Tunkhannock, they said, we want you to come into the office. We want to see you. You know, say goodbye to you. And I was like, okay, all right. And so, you know, we said goodbye, and they gave me a check, and I was like, okay, that's weird. You know, it's like a severance check. You know, I only worked here seven months. So, and I looked at it. You know, and it's a company check, and on the memo it says missions trip, and so that was unexpected. And then also, neighbors across the street, unsaved neighbors, they don't know the Lord, but yet they heard about the trip. And they also sent a check with, you know, memo missions trip on it. So God just really provided and really provided through you, and you had a large hand in that. So thank you for letting the Lord use you. Now, there's not a lot of needs to talk about, but I just wanted to give you some of the ministry opportunities I'll have, excuse me, while I'm in Brazil, that I know of, that I've been preparing for. And the first one is that trombone. So I'll be packing that up, and I'll be traveling with that. So that'll be a little bit difficult. But the missionary told me, if you have to leave your clothes to bring your trombone, leave your clothes, bring your trombone. So he put, you know, big emphasis on that. So bringing that, and I'll be using that. Also, I'll be preaching a message through an interpreter. And it's going to be about 15 minutes long in English. So through an interpreter, it'll be about 30 minutes long. And I was praying what Lord wanted me to prepare, and he led me to Ephesians 6, and specifically on spiritual warfare. It talks about we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, more specifically the rulers of this world, in this world, who are motivated by what? The devil. And then it says, take up the whole armor of God, your loins about with truth, and take up the shield of faith, and your feet shod with the gospel of peace. So, that there's that opportunity, and also this is more recent. They asked me to prepare to do sort of a choir workshop with the pastoral staff there. They have no choir, but they're trying to start it up, and they don't know how do we do this. So and when they told me that, I was like, how do we do this? With that in mind, prayer requests, pray about the baggage and luggage and travel and all that, traveling with the trombone. And once I arrive in Sao Paulo, I'll be taking another plane from Sao Paulo to where I'll spend most of my time, Presidente Prudente, and that's about an hour and a half flight. But the thing is, the only tickets available didn't have baggage included. So, I went online and tried to, can I buy some baggage online? And it was like, no. The missionaries and myself were like, okay, we're going to have to, buy baggage in the airport. And, so there's some intricacies there. And so pray about that Lord will be in that and that'll all go smoothly, and also unexpected things in international travel, and also just the ministry of things, that the Lord would use me and use these the message that I'll have the opportunity to preach there, and the choir workshop, and the just be an encouragement to those people. From what my understanding, they haven't had a lot of visitors, from Christian visitors, fellow believers from other places, other countries, so that they'd just be encouraged. That would be used to help encourage them, but also I'm anticipating myself also being encouraged. And so pray also to that extent, that my own learning in the whole experience. I've told several people I have no idea what I'm getting myself into, but I'll find out once I start the journey and the trip. So I think that is everything that I have to say to you about that. Pastor, was there anything that I'm forgetting? Oh, right. So as of right now, this morning I didn't have furniture. I had several people. Sorry, excuse me. I had a sinus infection earlier, so I'm kind of struggling here. So furniture, I had a couple people that already have a number of furniture items that they have offered me as of this morning. So I haven't looked at what all those items are, so I can't say for sure. But it's not a lot that I need. I'm just a single. The jacuzzi. Yes, right. Yeah, that. No, just, a bed and table and, food primarily. So, but again, thank you for your love to me and for your giving. That's it.
All right, grab your hymnal again. We're going to sing "How Majestic Is Thy Name." That's number 60. And think about what Charlie just talked about, God meeting his needs. And you look at the second line here in the first verse. What is man that thou thinkest of him who is so unworthy of thy love? So he thought of us with salvation, sending the Lord Jesus, but he also takes care of us day to day. Needs that we didn't know if he was going to meet. Charlie's got this need. He's going away. He's trusting that God's going to provide. He doesn't know if he's going to provide before, after, during. And here, not only did the Lord provide before, but he provided exceedingly. And so, he doesn't have to have the bologna and cheese. You can have peanut butter and jelly now. And this is great. You go from filtered water, you can have Dasani. All right. Number 60, go ahead and stand. How majestic is thy name?
Consider the work of thy hands, the sun, moon, and stars.
Our men are going to come in just a second for our offering tonight. And so glad to have again, some of you had a chance to meet our missionary tonight. You might notice he slipped in here, Matthew Frank. And I know that he was trying to get here a little bit early, but a different schedule there, was coming here, snuck in and got in here. So we're glad to have him here tonight. You're going to get to meet him, and he'll introduce himself in just a little bit after the special music. But he is a missionary, him and his family, up in based out of New Hampshire with Rock of Ages Prison Ministry. Some of you may or may not be familiar with that ministry. Hails from Georgia, up in New Hampshire. And how to get in Pennsylvania? Well, you'll have to stay tuned, all right, as he tells what God's been doing and how he got up there, what his ministry is, prisons, public schools. We're thrilled to have him here. He was in Pennsylvania earlier today and visiting with us tonight before he heads back home. And so right after special music, we'll dismiss our Tykes for Truth, second grade down, with Miss Karen and Jenna. They'll head on out. And as they head out, we'll have Brother Matthew come on up here, and he'll present his ministry and preach tonight. All right. So, man, if you'll come at this time, we'll go ahead and have a word of prayer. And again, thank you for your giving spirit there, not just to the ministries here, but to such as like with Charlie, other ministries, very giving spirit. We praise the Lord for that. May that continue. Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Father, we love you. We thank you. And we do, Lord, I pray, amen, what we sang, how majestic is thy name. Lord, as we sang both this morning and even tonight, your creation, all the places we look, Lord, should shout out your majesty, your power, your glory. Lord, you are a great God, a majestic God. There's nothing that you cannot do, Lord. You are able. And yet, Lord, you love us as sinners. You loved us enough. You sent yourself, the Lord Jesus Christ, to die for our sins. You gave us the scriptures. We have the Holy Spirit within all of us that are believers, Lord. We're now, Lord, here with the church. There's so much that we have available. May we be thankful for that. Thank you, Lord, for the giving spirit of these, your people. May we continue to give, Lord, to the needs of others, to this ministry, to missions around the world. We thank you for our brother that's here tonight, Lord. Lord, the burden you've placed on him and his family's heart, Lord, making a move up to maybe a place they hadn't been before, Lord, and yet burdened for prison ministry, public school ministry. Lord, I pray you'll use him tonight, what you've laid on his heart. Lord, speak to each of us. Challenge us. Lord, it could be some here tonight or watching from home. God's been tugging at their heart in the area of ministry. Maybe surrender to a full-time ministry. Lord, I pray you'll continue to impress upon their heart, and they would yield if it be your will. We thank you and praise you, Lord, for your goodness. In Jesus' name, amen. You may be seated.
Is a place of beauty, ranging from the White Mountains of New Hampshire to Acadia National Park in Maine, the lighthouses in Rhode Island, Lake Warramug in Connecticut, the Green Mountains in Vermont, and the Berkshires in Massachusetts. But despite all the physical beauty, New England is very dark spiritually. According to a 2018 Gallup poll, it is the least religious region in the United States. We are the Frank family, and God has given us the honor of making New England our home since 2020. He has called us to reach the inmate, the correction staff, the student, and the teacher with the gospel of Jesus Christ. We are privileged to serve out of Granite State Baptist Church here in Concord, New Hampshire, where Dr. Peter Chamberlain is our pastor. We are serving with Rock of Ages Ministries that is based in Cleveland, Tennessee. We are currently working in 7 different correctional facilities across New England. We are blessed to be in all 3 state prisons here in New Hampshire and 2 local county jails. God has also opened up doors thus far for us to serve in the states of Maine and Rhode Island in their respective prison systems. In addition to the correction facilities, we are also working in 3 different schools across New England in the states of New Hampshire, Massachusetts, and Maine. We are teaching the character under construction lessons, which are designed to teach good character, morals, and ethics to today's youth for tomorrow's leaders. God has also blessed our ministry by allowing us to be used to help pastors here in New England with pulpit supply, special services, preach missions conferences, and mission Sundays. We are thankful for the opportunities in which God allows us to serve Him. We are excited about what God is allowing us to do here in New England, and we desire 3 things from you. Number 1, pray for us. Pray that God would continue to protect us, provide for us, and open doors for us here in New England to give the gospel to lost souls. Number 2, participate with us. Come get involved in what God is doing here in New England. We regularly see souls saved and lives changed by His amazing grace. Number 3, partner with us financially each month as we labor for the Lord here in New England. Thank you for taking the time to see our burden for New England.
All right, everybody, glad you're saved this evening. Say amen. Amen. Glad to be in God's house. Appreciate you being here, being in this place, being faithful to your church on a Sunday evening. Pastor, thank you for letting me come. I appreciate that. Depths of my heart. I do apologize. I wasn't here little earlier to greet you whenever you came in, but I'm as you leave this evening, I will make sure I'm standing at the display table there. Please feel free to stop by, take one of our prayer cards. I'd love to talk to you. If you say, Brother Matthew, I've never done prison ministry, well, I'd love to get you involved, and I'd love to take you in, let you see what it's all about. If you've never been inside of a prison on the, let me clarify my statement, if you've never been inside of a prison on the evangelistic side of things, okay, does that work for clarifying everything? And I'll say it this way, if you've never been in on the evangelistic side of things, please come talk to me. I'd love to take you in. We have a prison revival actually scheduled in November, actually two of them scheduled in November back to back. So I'll have a week's worth of meeting that you can come be involved in. But even if you've been incarcerated before and you've had to spend time there, come talk to me. If you're interested in going back, reaching the inmate, depending on what it is, how long ago it was, things of that nature, I may still be able to get you cleared and get you involved in that. I'm not trying to be in your business, but I do want to help you serve the Lord to the best of your capabilities. I do want to tell a quick story, if that's okay. Charlie, is that your name? So he was talking about the needs and things of that nature, and it's, don't take this the wrong way, okay? Please don't take this the wrong way, but it was obvious that he wasn't comfortable asking for those things, okay? And I remember when we first started deputation, I was the same way. But I've watched God, through God's people, take care of things that only He can. I remember the time that we was fixing to go full-time on deputation, and now I want to say we had like $500 a month in support coming in, which I don't know if you've looked lately, but that's not a lot of money, okay? And while I was praying about going full-time, and man, God been blessing, we'd been in church after church after church, and man, it seemed like God was just blessing. And I called my pastor at the time, and I said, Pastor, I think it's time. And he said, well, what makes you think that? I said, well, everything just seems to be falling in place. He said, nah, you ain't ready. I said, what? 2 weeks later, I was in a church on Sunday morning, and I'm going to be transparent, if that's okay. And I was in a church on a Sunday morning, and I drove an hour and a half to get there. I'd preached in a jail in Chattanooga, Tennessee, and drove an hour and a half to this little country church out in Alabama. I'm not knocking country churches. Don't misunderstand me. That's where a large percent of our support comes from. Matter of fact, that church actually supports us. But I got up there, and I was preaching out of my Rock of Ages study Bible that morning. It's only the first time, only the second time I preached out of it in prison that morning, or in jail that morning. I preached out the second time in his church. And I told him, I said, if I seem like I'm stumbling around trying to find something, I said, it's because I'm not used to this Bible yet. As a preacher, you know, you get used to a certain Bible, and you can find things quicker in that one Bible than you can other things. And he got up in the middle of service, preacher, I've never forgot. He got up in the middle of service and walked to his office, which was over here, and come back with a brand new Scofield study Bible. And sat down on the pew, when we got done, went to the back. He handed him in that Bible, and he said, don't you ever leave that Scofield. And then this is what really got me. It's my wife's birthday. This is 5 years ago now. It's my wife's birthday, and he hands me $50 at the back and said, here, I hope this helps at gas and groceries. Now understand, I'm thankful for the $50. It was $50 I didn't have to start with. You understand what I'm saying? But I'm praying about going full time. And whenever you first start on deputation as a missionary, oftentimes you're looking for that next place that you can be at so that way you can continue to pay your bills. When you first start deputation, yes, it's about getting support, but it's also about, hey, let me come so that way I can present the ministry and you can be good to me and I can bless your church and you can bless me in return. Does that make sense what I'm saying? Some of y'all are looking at me like I'm crazy, okay? And that's okay. If you've never been in missions, it's a whole nother way. I thought I knew everything there was to know about missions. And then I got involved in missions, and I realized quickly I didn't have a clue. But I remember going down the road that afternoon. It was a two-hour drive to the next meeting. I remember going down the road to the next church, and we stopped on the way to the next church, and we ate Mexican food because that's what you do when you're down south. We've only found one good Mexican restaurant in New England, and it's anyways, just there's a lot of them down south. Okay, we'll just put it that way. And But we stopped and ate Mexican food, and we ordered extra stuff. You know, we ordered cheese dip, you know, because that's not something you get every time, most of the time, unless you just got money to throw away, especially when it's watery cheese dip, which it was that day. Okay, y'all know what I'm saying when I mean watery cheese dip? Y'all understand what I'm saying? I can't stand it. Give me the thick stuff, okay? But anyways, we're talking about food. I'm getting hungry, all right? We're going to move on quickly. We'll be done by 6:45. That's 2 minutes from now, okay? But I remember our bill, including the tip that day, came to $50. And all day that day, the devil had been on my back. He said, yeah, you really going to make it on $50 for gas and groceries. And I got to church that evening. I went in, I preached, and I'll be honest with you, I understand exactly why Paul told Timothy, why Paul charged Timothy be instant in season and out of season. Because sometimes you don't feel like preaching. And I remember sitting in that service that evening, and the preacher told me, he said, man, we had a good one this morning. I said, man, we're going to have a dead one this evening. Now, I'm just being transparent, okay? I am who I am, all right? And I remember getting in the service, and the preacher called on me to come preach. I went up and preached. And I got done, and I went back to the back door. He said, preacher, go back to the back door. They like to shake hands with you as you go out, and I did that. And a guy walked by me, and he stuck a $100 bill in my hand. Come by, and he gave me one of those crispy handshakes. Y'all know what I mean? And as soon as it hit my hand, I knew what it was. A $100 bill feels different than a $20 bill. It feels different than a $50 bill. And it definitely feels different than a $1 bill, right? A $100 bill is usually still real good and crispy because they don't get spent a lot, right? But here's the thing. He handed me one, and in my mind, y'all forgive me, in my mind, I said, well, at least we doubled what this morning was. And a little 8-9-year-old boy come by. He held out a $5 bill. And he said, preacher, God told me to give you this. The Holy Spirit of God broke my heart right there in that vestibule of that church. And he said, son, if I can tell an 8-year-old to give his last $5 to you, I can take care of you. Can I tell you, it's been 5 years now, you know, I've watched God do. I've watched God take care of me. I've watched God meet needs. I've watched God pay for vehicles. I've watched God pay for moving expenses. We moved, and in 5 weeks, we had over $11,000 come in to help us move to New England. I said, preacher, what is that? That's God. Why do I say all that? Well, a couple of the reasons. Number one, to encourage you. Just keep going. Honestly, I'm excited about the fact that you're going to present. I don't even know you, and I'm excited for you. I wish I'd have been here this morning when you still needed money. But here's the thing. And if you still need money, I'll give you money, okay? I don't have a lot, but such as I have, give I to thee, right? But here's the thing. I'm excited about the fact that he's going. Why? Because I don't see a lot of young people going. I don't see a lot of young people going off to the mission field, taking mission trips and things of that nature. That excites me. Why? Because I didn't have those opportunities. But as my kids get older, my son, he's 9 years old, he'll go to junior camp for the first time this week. I'm excited about what God's going to do in his life. Why? Because somebody cared enough to, you know what? I'm going to put missions in front of him. I'm going to put something in front of him to encourage him to continue on. But can I say this? I told you that story for the second reason. Number two, not just to encourage him, but to encourage you as a church. Keep giving. Keep giving. But not only keep giving, keep going. Keep going after people. Keep going after souls. Why? Because if you'll keep going and you'll keep giving, guess what God will do? God will keep sending people in. God to keep blessing and God to keep moving here at this place. Thankful for the opportunity to be here. We are working there in New England. I'll tell you real quickly. We're working. The video is only about 5 months old, but we're actually in 9 different facilities now, as well as the 3 different schools. There's only 2 states that I'm not currently in, and that's Massachusetts and Connecticut. I was telling someone out in the lobby before I came in that I offered a job in Massachusetts. I got offered a full-time chaplain job. She didn't even interview me. I'd been emailing her, be like, hey, can I come in? Can I come in? Can I come in? You know, because the squeaky wheel gets the grease, right? So I'd been emailing her, and after about the 10th email that she got from me, she's finally like, fine, whatever. So she offers me a job. I said, I don't want a job. I want to come in and volunteer. No, you can't do that. Okay, so y'all pray the Lord would open up those doors there in Massachusetts and Connecticut. Connecticut is actually starting to open up just a little bit. They're actually starting to allow volunteers back in after COVID, so you help me pray about that. But do help me pray on something specifically, Lord willing. This semester we'll actually be approaching a charter school there in Concord, New Hampshire. I don't even know if there's a Concord, Connecticut. Anyways, I'm getting sidetracked. And there in Concord, New Hampshire, where we go to church at, just down the street from the church, there's a charter school, has about 300 students in it. And we actually, there's a lady in our church that's actually friends with the administrator. So we're going to have a sit-down meeting with them, present the character and the construction material to them, and hopefully be able to gain access to that, be the fourth school that we'll be in. So you help me make that a matter of prayer, all right? Take your Bibles this evening. Go with me to the book of 2 Timothy. 2 Timothy chapter number 4. 2 Timothy chapter number 4. Thank you again, Pastor, for allowing me to come and be here with you this evening. I appreciate every one of you that came. And if you didn't know there was a missionary this evening, I apologize if you weren't planning on hearing your pastor preach. But if you did know there was a missionary this evening and you still came back, I'm thankful for that, because that meant you knew I was coming and you still came. And I appreciate that from the depths of my heart. But if you'll stand, reverence to the reading of the Word of God, you've been sitting for a minute, I'll give you a chance to stretch your legs. 2 Timothy chapter number 4, I'll do my best to not keep you long. He said, we're eating pizza after church. Is that still the plan? We're eating pizza after church, me and him and somebody else and you and your wife, from what I understand. We're going to eat pizza. So I'm excited about eating pizza, so we're going to be done real quick, all right? 2 Timothy chapter number 4. Look with me at verse number 6. We'll read three verses of Scripture. We'll pray, and then you can be seated for the message from the Word of God this evening. 2 Timothy chapter number 4. Look with me at verse number 6. The Bible says, "For I am now ready to be offered, and the time of my departure is at hand. I have fought a good fight. I have finished my course. I have kept the faith. Henceforth there is laid up for me a crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, shall give to me at that day, and not to me only, but unto all them also that love his appearing." Let's pray. Heavenly Father, thank you for this day. Thank you for the privilege and the opportunity you give me to stand and preach your blessed word. Lord, I count it an honor to stand where so many great men have stood and preached your word down through the years. Thank you for this place. Thank you for these dear people. Thank you for this dear pastor and being gracious and allowing me to come, and not just come, but to present the ministry and fill his pulpit this evening. Thank you for the confidence that he's placed in me. Lord, I pray that you'd put a watch care about my mouth. Help me not to do or say anything that will grieve or quench your Holy Spirit. Lord, I pray that you'd help me to do and say everything that you want said and done for your honor and your glory. Help us not to leave here the same way we came in, but Lord, help us to leave here being challenged by the Word of God, changed by the Spirit of God, and we'll thank you and we'll praise you. For it's in your Son's holy, wonderful, precious name we pray. Amen and amen. You can be seated. Thank you so much for standing. As we look here at this passage of Scripture, I do notice that there's Paul here is charging young Timothy in verse number 1 down through verse number 5, and I don't want to get bogged down on that, because if I'm not careful, I'll preach the entire message from verse number 1 through verse number 5. But Paul is an older man now. He's between 60 and 65 years old, as my research has indicated, and Paul is between 30 and 35 years old. Paul is 60 to 65. Timothy is 30 to 35, and he's just getting started into the ministry, into the pastorate, and Paul charges him in verse number 1 down through verse number 5. But then in verse number 6 through verse number 8, Paul begins to change gears a little bit, and Paul almost begins to testify about his life. If we can say it this way, he begins to give his last will and testament as it comes to this passage of Scripture. But I want to just look at his testimony for just a moment, if I can preach just for the next few moments on this simple thought: a testimony worth living for. Whenever they wheel my casket into the church or the chapel, wherever they have my funeral at, I won't care. I'll be dead. I'll be in heaven. But wherever they have my funeral at, and people go to walk by my casket, you know, when we go to funerals, we always want to say the nice things about people. And sometimes people lie, and sometimes people say things like, "Well, don't they look good?" and things of that nature. No, they look dead. But here's the thing: at the end of the day, we all want to have that testimony, and we want to have that. Whenever we stand before the Lord, we want to hear the Lord say, "Well done, thou good and faithful servant." And Paul is giving his testimony. It's almost as if Paul is writing his autobiography, if you will, and he's giving us some things that he has done in his life. And I want to mention those for just a moment, if I can. We see, first off, under this testimony we're living for, we see Paul's pleasure. As he says in verse number 6, "I am ready to be offered. The time of my departure is at hand." Paul is looking at the present. He's looking at the close of his life, and he's making this statement. He said, "I am ready." When we look at this passage of Scripture, we see the word offered there. It simply means poured out. It's a reference to the drink offering in the Old Testament. Paul is excited about the fact that he gets to serve God in one way that he's never served God before. He said, "I am now ready to be offered. I'm going to be poured out. They're going to chop my head off. They're going to behead me, and my blood is literally going to pour out on the ground, but I get to pour it out for the Lord Jesus Christ." Paul is excited about that. Now, can I be honest with you? If they were getting ready to chop my head off, I don't know that I'd be that excited. But Paul is looking forward to the fact that he, all through his life, once he got saved on that Damascus road, ever since then, Paul has made it his mission to serve the Lord to the fullest of his capabilities. There's one way that he's never served God, and that's being poured out, if I can say it that way. His blood has never been spilled in this fashion before, and Paul is looking forward to it. It's a reference to the Old Testament drink offering. He even references it in Philippians chapter 2, verse 17. He said, "Yea, and if I be offered upon the sacrifice and service of your faith, I joy and rejoice with you all." Paul's not dreading this in the least. Paul's looking forward to this. Why? Because this means he gets to serve God, but one more way. But he even goes on to tell us another reason why he's excited in the last part. As you look at verse number 6, he said, "And the time of my departure is at hand." This time of my departure is at hand. He gives the word picture of a ship hoisting anchor and setting sail. Here's the thing. Paul's saying, "Listen, I understand that I'm fixing to be beheaded, but I'm headed to a better country. I'm headed to a better place. And one day after a while, when they behead me, as soon as a breath leaves my body, I'm going home to be with my Lord." He already made reference to the fact that he said, "I have a desire to depart and to be over there." But here's the thing. Paul's getting ready to hoist anchor. The word picture there also has a reference to loosing a prisoner. Paul's saying, "I've been a prisoner in this old world for too long. But one day after a while, when they behead me, I'm going home to be with my Lord." This time of my departure is referring to when his spirit would be separated from his body to depart and be with Christ. We see Paul's pleasure. We see not only that, in verse number 7, we see Paul's proclamation. As Paul's looking at his past, he's looking at the course of his life. He's doing some reflecting, if I will, and he makes this statement about his life. He said, "I was reliable." Now, here's the thing. I don't know about your pastor, but I know when I pastored, whenever I asked someone to do something, I always had people volunteer. But sometimes there'd be that person that would volunteer that wouldn't follow through. And they're not dependable. And I know there's probably no one here like this. But whenever you're given a job to do, you're supposed to do it. Whenever I'm given a job to do as a missionary, when I'm given a job to do, here's the thing. Paul even told young Timothy, he said, "Preach the word, be instant in season and out of season." What's he saying? There's no time to quit. There's no time to give up. There's no time to throw in the towel. As a matter of fact, I forget the reference, but he said, "Quit you like men." Here's the thing. Whenever you look at that, here's the thing. That just simply says there's no room to quit. There's no room to throw in the towel. Hey, there's no getting off point. When we got in this battle for the Lord Jesus Christ, it was until we went home to be with the Lord. Paul's saying, here's the thing. I was reliable. I was faithful. Paul, in verse number 7, he makes a statement. He said, "I've fought a good fight. I finished my course. I've kept the faith." Three things about this. Number one, Paul is saying this. He said, "I was a fighter. I was a good soldier." Can I say this about Paul's fight? It wasn't on social media. He wasn't fighting with the brethren. He wasn't fighting with the neighbor across the street. He wasn't fighting with the person that sat on the other side of the auditorium from you. You say, "Oh, Brother Matthew, why would you mention that?" Because here's the thing. We've got in this mindset that I'm your enemy and you're my enemy. I'm not your enemy. Matter of fact, if we're pulling in the same direction and we're preaching the cross like we ought to and we're preaching it the Bible way, and here's the thing, if they get saved under your ministry, they're just as saved as if they get saved under my ministry. Am I understanding that correctly? We're not enemies this evening. Why do you say that? Because here's the thing. We've got in our minds, for whatever reason, in this 2023, that it's us versus them. No, it's us versus them, all right. But the them is not of this world. We're in this thing together. Paul said, I was a good fighter. He's the Ephesians chapter 6, Brother Charlie mentioned it. He said in verse number 12, for we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against rulers of darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places. Wherefore, take unto you the whole armor of God, that you may be able to stand in the evil day, and having done all, to stand. There's no quitting point. Paul's saying, listen, he said, I've fought a good fight. I've been fighting this entire time. As a matter of fact, you go back and you look, and when you look at the verb tense that these are in, it indicates that the action is not stopping in verse number 7, but it's continuing on and will continue on until Paul leaves this walk of life. Now, I've talked to people down through the years. They say, well, you know, I'm just older now, and I can't go like I used to. And can I say this? I understand that. I'm 37 years old, and I'm doing my best to prolong my life. The Lord's actually helped me to lose 95 pounds in the last 3.5 months. But you know what? I'm trying to take steps to make sure that I'm trying to prolong my life, because here's the thing. I want to serve the Lord till Jesus comes, and I don't know when He's coming. But if He waits till I'm 100, I still want to be alive serving Jesus. But at the end of the day, Paul's saying, listen, he said, I'm not stopping right now. And I used to preach in a nursing home every Sunday afternoon for 2.5 years. And there was a little old lady, I mean that with all due respect, please don't misunderstand me, I'm being disrespectful. There was this little old lady, her name was Kathleen Bohannon. Miss Bohannon, she'd come in and she'd sit at the very head of the table, and she'd tell me every Sunday, she said, now preacher, make sure you preach on hellfire and brimstone. She said, these nurses in here are wicked and they need to hear hellfire and brimstone. And I'd go visit her during the week. Sometimes I'd run by there on a Thursday or so just to see how the people were doing. And I'd run by there and she'd say, now, preacher, you preaching on hellfire and brimstone today? Or on Sunday? I said, well, probably not. We'd come to church and she'd forget our conversation in the middle of the week. She'd come up to me before church. She'd say, preacher, you preaching on hellfire and brimstone? Probably not. But here's the thing. She was 89 years old when she died. And before she died, she had gotten bedridden for about 6 months. And she told me, I went by to see her one week, and she said, Pastor, or she said, Brother Matthew, she said, they won't let me get out of the bed. She said, the doctors have said that I need to stay in bed. I don't need to be out. I've fallen a couple of times, and I'm a fall danger now, and they don't want me out of the bed. So she stayed in the bed for the last 6 months of her life. But I'd go by to see her during the week, or I'd go by to see her on Sunday afternoons, and she'd say, Pastor, I was praying for you today. And one day I went by and I visited her. I think it was a Wednesday. I went by and I said, hey, Miss Bohannon, how you doing? And she said, well, I'm doing good. She said, how are you doing? I told her I was doing all right. And we carried on a conversation, and she said, Pastor, I need you to know something. She said, I can't do a lot, but I can pray. And she said, I want you to know I've done called your name out 3 different times today as I've worked through my prayer list. You said, Brother Matthew, what was she doing? She was doing what she could. Even at the end of her life, she wasn't giving up. She wasn't quitting. She wasn't throwing in the towel. She's saying, you know what? I might not be able to do much, but I'm going to do just like that woman that broke the alabaster box. I'm going to do what I can until I can't no more. I don't know where you're at in your stage of life. But can I tell you this? Your life's not over yet. And as long as there's breath in you this evening, you know what you can do? You can still serve God. You can still do something for the Lord. Oh, Brother Matthew, I can't do a lot. Can you pray? You got missionaries that you support, I'm assuming. I saw a missions wall out there, so that tells me that you support some missionaries. Get their prayer cards. Pray for them. Pray for your pastor. Pray for your staff members here. Pray for the people that lead the music. The guy that runs the sound, he definitely needs the prayers, because everybody, when something goes wrong, guess who turns around and looks at him? Everybody does. Nobody notices the sound guy until something goes wrong. Ain't that right? Nobody notices. I've been the sound guy before. I don't envy him at all. Matter of fact, I try to be real good to the sound guys everywhere I go. Here's the thing. Paul said, I fought a good fight. I've been a good soldier. Not only say I fought a good fight, I got to move quickly. Not only say I was a fighter, I was a good soldier. Not only that, he said I was a finisher. I was a good runner. Look at what he said in verse number 7. I fought a good fight. I have finished my course. 1 Corinthians chapter 9, verse number 24 says this. Know ye not that they which run in a race run all, but one receiveth the prize. So run that you may obtain. I can promise you this. I told you I've lost 95 pounds. But even though I've lost some weight, you still will not see me running. If you see me running, you better run too. Because there's somebody behind me that's coming after me. And I've either A, left my gun at the house, or I can't get to it. Okay? Oh, Brother Matthew, you know, it's good for you. How can pounding your heels on the pavement be good for you? If you're a runner, I'm not trying to offend you, but please don't try to convert me after service, all right? Because it's not happening. But here's the thing. You know how you outrun a bear? You outrun the person with you. All right? You don't have to be faster than the bear. You just have to be faster than them. And if you kick them in the kneecap before you take off, you're faster than them. I done thought this out. I live in bear country, man. I done thought it out. I'm always with somebody. Anyways, we're moving on. I done killed it for some of you. Hebrews chapter 12, verse number 1, the Bible says, wherefore, seeing we are also compassed about with so great a cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside the weight and the sin which does so easily beset us, and let us run with patience the race that is set before us. Hey, when we got into this Christian life, when we got saved by the grace of God, we entered into a race, we entered into a battlefield, we entered into something that we must finish for the honor and the glory of God. Paul said, I was a good soldier. He said, I was a finisher. I was faithful. Or I was a fighter. I was a finisher. But he said, I was faithful. Look at verse number 7. He said, I fought a good fight. I finished my course. I have kept the faith. Let me give you this and I'll move quickly. This word kept means to attend to carefully, to take care of. Paul's keeping of the faith wasn't something he did haphazardly. No, Paul got up every morning and crucified his flesh. He got up every morning, he died to himself, and he said, you know what? Whatever God wants, that's what I want. Would to God that you and I as believers, would to God that you and I as Christians would get up every morning and do exactly what Paul said. Lord, I'm crucifying my flesh today. Lord, use me as only you can use me. Here's the thing. My prayer every morning is this, Psalm 19:14. Let the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart be acceptable in thy sight, O Lord, my strength and my redeemer. Why? Because I know in and of myself, I won't do it. I have to have him. Not only is Paul's proclamation, we see Paul's pleasure, but then can I say this in verse number 8, we see Paul's prize. Verse number 8, he said, henceforth there's laid up for me a crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, shall give to me at that day, and not to me only, but unto all them also that love his appearing. Paul said there's a promise. He's looking at his future now. He's looking at the crown that he's going to receive. He's looking at the reward that he's going to get for a faithful life. This henceforth, it means from this time forward, hereafter, this phrase laid up for me, it means to be laid away, laid by, reserved, carries the idea of being safely stored and carefully guarded. 1 Timothy chapter 6, verse number 18 says this, that they do good, that they be rich in good works, ready to distribute, willing to communicate, laying up in store for themselves a good foundation against the time to come, that they may lay hold on eternal life. Matthew chapter 6, verse number 19, lay not up for yourselves treasures upon earth, where moth and rust does corrupt and where thieves break through and steal, but lay up for yourselves treasures in heaven where neither moth nor rust doth corrupt and where thieves do not break through nor steal, for where your treasure is, there will your heart be also. You know, if you give me about 5 minutes with your social media accounts and your checkbook, I can tell you where your treasure is. If you took those same 5 minutes with my checkbook and my social media accounts, you know what you could tell? Where my treasure is. Why? Because what we spend our money on and what we spend our time on is where our treasure is. Paul said, I've got a crown waiting for me. We see Paul's prize, but then only that, we see fourthly, we see God's promise. Look at what he said in verse number 8. Henceforth, there is laid up for me a crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, shall give to me at that day, and not to me only, but also unto all them, but unto all them also that love his appearing. As I read through Scripture, I find that there's five different crowns that you can win as a believer. There's five different crowns. Can I give them to you real quickly? There's number one, the incorruptible crown in 1 Corinthians chapter 9, verse number 25. This is a crown of victory. It's given to those who exercise the discipline to narrow their focus to those things with the highest eternal value. There's a crown of rejoicing in 1 Thessalonians chapter 2, verse number 19. It's often called the soul winner's crown. There's a crown of righteousness here in 2 Timothy chapter 4, verse number 8. This crown is for believers who long for heaven, their true home, who long to see the face of their Savior when He comes for them in the clouds. There's a crown of life in Revelation chapter 2, verse number 10. This crown is for believers, for the believer who has kept the faith, even when it was costly to do so. In other words, anyone who has suffered, endured, persevered, and encouraged others will receive this crown of life. And then the fifth crown, we see the crown of glory in 1 Peter chapter 5, verse number 4. This crown is given to faithful shepherds of God's people. This is given to pastors, elders, deacons, Sunday school teachers, ministry team leaders, and more. It will reward those who answer the call of leadership. But as we went through this, we talked about Paul's testimony worth living for. But let me ask you a question. How do I have a testimony worth living for? How do you have a testimony worth living for? Can I give you five things quickly? Five things in 5 minutes, we'll be done. Y'all ready? If y'all got to listen fast, and I'm going to preach fast, all right? Five things. Number one, recognize that the battle is spiritual. Paul said, we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against rulers of darkness in spiritual places. Here's the thing. He's saying this. He said, we don't wrestle. You're not my enemy this evening. I'm not your enemy. The battle is spiritual this evening. And in order to have a testimony we're living for, we're going to have to realize that the battle is in fact spiritual. Can I give you number two? Not only recognize that the battle is spiritual, but number two, realize that the cause is noble. 1 Peter chapter 2, verse number 9, the Bible says this, but you're a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, and holy nation, a peculiar people, that you should show forth the praises of Him who hath called you out of darkness into His marvelous light. Hey, whenever He saved me by the grace of God, He didn't leave me where He found me. He picked me up out of the muck. David said it this way. He picked me up. He put a new song in my mouth. Even praise unto my God. Here's the thing. If I was to introduce you to men and women that have been saved, the Lord's privileged us in the last 3 years to see over 70 people get saved inside the prison. But if I was to introduce you to those men and those women this evening, here's what they would say. God picked me up out of where I was at, out of the wicked lifestyle that I was in, out of the drugs and the alcohol and all those different things. Jesus picked me up and He saved me. He put my feet on a solid rock. He established my goal. You say, oh, Brother Matthew, you mean to tell me they'd say it that way? No, probably here's what they'd say. I didn't understand what Brother Frank was talking about the first time he came in. But after those second and third and fourth and fifth times that he come in and he preached the Word of God, the Holy Ghost of God began to deal with my heart and He changed me. I didn't understand what was taking place. But there was something on the inside said, you need what that preacher's talking about. You need what that man's talking about. And I didn't know what to do. But I went and talked to him, and he told me that if I placed my faith and my trust in the Lord Jesus Christ and repent of my sin, that Jesus would save me. So I placed my faith and my trust in the Lord Jesus Christ. I repented of my sin, and something happened on the inside I can't explain. But I hadn't been the same since. Hey, when you and I got saved by the grace of God, we entered into a cause that's noble. They don't know what they really entered into. You know who gets the opportunity to teach them about that? I do. I get the opportunity week in and week out to be able to go and share what the Bible says about things. Why? Because of God's people. We see this matter of realize that the cause is noble, recognize the battle is spiritual. Number three, have the self-discipline to avoid wandering. Titus chapter 2, verse number 12 says, teaching us that denying ungodliness and worldly lust, we should live soberly, righteously, and godly in this present world. 1 Corinthians 9, verse 27, but I keep my body under subjection, or I keep under my body and bring it under subjection, lest that by any means when I have preached to others, I myself should be a castaway. You know, I told you I lost some weight. I love peanut M&Ms. Love peanut M&Ms. Do you know what I've had to do for the last 3.5 months? I've had to deny myself peanut M&Ms. You know why? Because for whatever reason, and I don't understand why, but you can't eat peanut M&Ms and lose weight. You would think that as much technology as we've got, as much scientific knowledge that we have, they would have come up with a way to make peanut M&Ms healthy for you. But newsflash, they're not. But here's the thing. I've had to deny myself. Last night, can I confess a sin for just a moment? Last night, I stopped at the Walmart, and you know what I bought for the first time in 3.5 months? I bought peanut M&Ms. I thought I was going to die, literally. They were so sweet after not eating them, not eating any kind of sugar for the last almost 4 months. I thought I was literally, it felt like my gut was turning inside out. I'm like, how did I eat these on a daily basis? As I finished the bag. Have the self-discipline to avoid. I believe the songwriter had it right when he wrote the song, Come Thou Fount. He said, prone to wonder, Lord, I feel it. Prone to leave the God I love. Have your own testimony worth living for. How's it going to happen? You're going to have to recognize that the battle is spiritual. You're going to have to realize that the cause is noble. You're going to have the self-discipline to avoid wondering. But I'm the last two, real quickly. Number four, recognize the need to treasure time. Ephesians chapter 5, verse 16 and 17, redeeming the time. Why? Because the days are evil. You realize that you can make more money, you can always have more things, you can always have more of everything, but there's one thing you will never get more of, and it is time. Redeem your time now. Fifthly, and I'm done, recognize the controlling element of everything we do. What is it? It's this Bible that I hold in my hand. Every move that I make, every decision I make, you know what it's based on? It's based on this book. If it's based on anything else, you know what's going to happen? Everything else is going to fall. But this book will stand. This book has stood the test of time, and can I tell you this evening, it will continue to stand the test of time. How's your testimony this evening? When people see you out and about, what kind of testimony do you have? You say, well, Brother Matthew, I don't have a good testimony. Can I tell you, you can start today. You can change that. You say, well, Brother Matthew, I don't know how much longer I got left. Neither do I, but here's the thing. If I had a bad testimony, you know what I'd want to do? I want to make sure that from now till the day I leave this walk of life, I want to start changing things and make it to where I have a better testimony. Why? Because He did so much for me. And I have the opportunity to do so little for Him in light of what He did for me. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, thank You for this day. Thank You for the privilege, the opportunity You give me to stand and preach Your blessed word. Lord, I believe I've said and done everything that You wanted me to say and do. And Lord, I pray that You'd take it, You'd use it for Your honor and Your glory. Bless as the preacher comes. Close this service however he sees fit. And we'll thank You and we'll praise You in Jesus' name. Amen and amen. Pastor, you come.
Amen. You can look this way. In just a second, we're going to have a brief invitation, but I appreciate Brother Frank preaching the Word of God, presenting his ministry. I know you have some questions probably, and so we'll certainly invite you to stop by the table there and get one of his cards, and you can access some different his ministries in there to answer a lot of those questions about prison ministry and the schools and maybe some of the steps you've got to do to get involved. Maybe the Lord's tugged your heart. Maybe that's something you've had a burden for. Maybe you've been in some ministries where you've done that before, and maybe the Lord's used tonight's message for that. And certainly no secret, him and I did not communicate in any way about what to preach on. We've been looking at it somewhat topically, the faith. And so the Lord directed you to that. And I think the Lord's been trying to cement that into some of us a little bit more. And so I appreciate that message. Appreciate his heart and his burden, traveling alone without his wife and children, and leaving them a little bit behind here. And so let's go ahead and have him tell you. I'm going to ask you to stand for the invitation. We normally have you sit if you need to sit and physically not able. That is perfectly fine. So I'm going to ask the pianist just to begin playing. Heads are bowed, eyes are closed as you stand. Perhaps God worked in your heart tonight. Perhaps an area of ministry. Perhaps a specific need. Maybe you haven't been faithful and God pricked your heart. Maybe you're not finishing what you told God you'd do. You made some commitments, but you just haven't done any of them. Haven't been very dependable. Maybe you walk around a little bit in guilt and shame all the time, knowing that you've told God to do a lot of things and you haven't done it. You need to get that settled tonight, not live that way. Get that taken care of. Confess it to the Lord. Renew that vow. Be determined to do it. Maybe you need to discipline yourself, as we heard, in the area of time. Sort of wasting time, not in the book as you ought to. You know, a lot of things that don't really matter, don't count for eternity. God's been tugging at your heart, maybe for weeks, maybe from this morning, maybe just tonight. The altar's open. Would you be willing to come? No one knows why you're coming except you and the Lord. Don't worry about what anybody thinks. Sometimes it's a long walk from the back if you're in the back. Sometimes, Joel, people are going to hear me walking. What's it about? The altar's open. If God's worked in your heart, heads are bowed, eyes are closed. Heads are bowed, eyes are closed. What has God spoken to you about tonight? Would you be willing to come? Would you be willing to make a decision? Are you serving God in any way? If you were removed from this church in any way, would any ministry suffer? Would any people that you are currently impacting say, oh my goodness, what a void they're going to be. They've been such a blessing, comforting, discipling, encouraging. What exactly are you doing for the Lord? The time is short. The need is great. In the prisons, the schools, your neighborhood, Duryea, around the world. God's been speaking to your heart. Would you surrender? Would you yield to Him? Would you say, yes, Lord? Maybe you have no idea. Would you say, Lord, I'm willing. I'm willing. That's all the Lord's looking for. Lord, I'm available. Music continues to play between you and the Lord. God spoke to your heart. Don't quench the Spirit. Don't grieve the Spirit. Yield to Him. Obey Him. Let the Lord work. Get that settled before you leave tonight. Don't harden the heart. It'll just get more and more hard, more and more calloused, more and more apathetic. Father, I thank you for the Word of God that was preached tonight. I thank you for our brother here, Lord. We thank you for the step of faith that he took with his family, Lord, moving from down south up to New England, Lord, a place that many people would say, oh boy, you don't want to go up there. That's cold. That's dark. Those people are tough up there. They're not going to last very long. But Lord, there's a need there. There's a need there, and I thank you this brother answered the call. I'm sure there's days that aren't easy, Lord. I'm sure not every day is a bed of roses, a mountaintop, but I thank you, Lord, that he's able to be in prisons. He's able to be in schools. He's able to be used of you in churches. And I pray you'll continue to bless him in his ministry. Continue to allow him, Lord. We do pray for open doors. He'd open the door. Work in the heart of those that make the decisions for Connecticut and Massachusetts, Lord. Give him opportunities to preach the gospel, to share the faith. We thank you for many who are trusting you, Lord, and have trusted you in the prisons and in other schools. And we pray that we'd have a part in that, Lord, tonight. I pray, Lord, as we dismiss now, Lord, we'll take a prayer card. We'll commit to praying and remembering our brother and his family. We'll commit to it, Lord, if we have some questions. Maybe God's tugged our heart about some of that here locally, how we could perhaps be involved in that and get that started. I pray that we'd take the next steps, Lord. Father, we love you and we thank you. Help each of us to fight the fight. Lord, to finish our course, to contend, to keep the faith, Lord, until you come or call us home. Thank you, Lord, for those in the past who have and those who are currently doing that. And I pray we'd have a heritage, Lord, of faithfulness to you. We thank you and we praise you. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen.